Welcome to Locked On Clippers.
What's up?
It's me, William, the Opinion Uptake.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we're coming at you 5 days a week with all the freshest Clippers news.
Oh, yes.
We got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We are doing player previews, kind of one a day, every day leading up to the regular season, which we're so excited for.
Oh, my. When this episode comes out, it will be 1 week until the Lakers-Clippers showdown.
That's correct. So we're going to be kicking things off with a player preview. Like I said, today we're doing Terrence Mann. And then we're going to be taking some questions from Twitter. Thank you, everybody, who sent some stuff in. We always appreciate it. If you want your chance to get a question featured on the show, go ahead and tweet us at Locked On Clips, at Will Updike, at Charles Mockler. We'd love to hear from you.
Oh, yeah.
Any day of the week. Got a good question? We'll give you a good answer.
And we're giving shout-outs, too.
And then we're going to be wrapping things up with Shavings, which is just kind of our general catch-all drawer for any Clippers-related news. We got some Cozy Ralph news.
the coziest of Ralph news.
And a bunch of other stuff lined up for you. So stay tuned for all of that and possibly more.
Okay, so because of the preseason, I feel like we've talked about Terrence Mann a lot. You know, we've seen the good out of Terrence. We've seen the bad.
Definitely.
But I think we're now at a point where we can make an accurate kind of season preview outlook-ish.
Yeah. I mean, I think...
Because everyone was pretty high on him after that first game.
I think we kind of have like a bill of sale or like an expectation on what we're going to be getting, what we can expect from this young man.
Because we initially said, I think it was after the Shanghai game, where we were very sleep deprived, but we were pretty excited. We were very excited about man. The thing, let's go with what he does good first.
Yeah.
That is already kind of at like better to could contribute to the second unit.
So before we even get into his talent, I just have to say like physicality wise,
he's there.
He's a huge guard.
He's physically, he is one of the best things this Clippers front office does is, I mean, other than everything, is seemingly scout guard size.
Yeah.
Because Shea and Mann are both like, these are huge guards.
I mean, for me, Jerome falls into that category too.
Definitely.
And even Walton Jr., who doesn't have the height, is a very thick man.
Dude, when he just put his shoulder into that guy's chest, that was great.
But anyways, we digress. So I would say his physical skill set leaves so much room for upside. He's already got, I think because he stayed at FSU or Florida for so long.
Yeah.
Was that FSU?
FSU, yeah.
Yeah. He got some time to kind of let his body fill out. And then he still has such a large frame that it's not wild to me to think that he could get even bigger.
Yeah. And it's really interesting watching him play compared to Fee, because Terrence is a guy who seemingly really knows what his body can do and how powerful it is. Whereas Fee, Doc said it in that post-game presser on Sunday, still kind of figuring that out. It's not a bad thing, but he's still learning how to play with his body. Terrence is like, he knows what he can do physically, and when he's really, what we've seen so far, like locked in, he knows exactly when to use it.
Absolutely. And that ties into, I think, him learning the position, like just having that sort of positional kind of, or physical awareness, kinesthetic awareness, whatever you want to call it, helps him kind of overcome some of the drawbacks of like, he's, you know, like he's going to be playing point.
Yeah. That's a very good point. He just seems to be one of the point guard in the point guard rotation for sure.
Yeah. He's going to be a guard, which is not the position that he spent the majority of his time at in college. We've touched on that before, but so, I mean, the biggest projections upside wise are obviously going to be the playmaking. And some versatile scoring, maybe not like the Shea type slinkiness, but there's a different sort of like athleticism and physicality to his offensive scoring game.
The footwork is similar to Shea's with the slinkiness, but not the smoothness, that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that totally checks. And from the playmaking side of things, he's learned a lot. Doc has described him multiple times as being very sponge-like in terms of just trying to pick things up. He doesn't generally tend to make the same mistake twice.
Which is
in the exact same way.
Yeah, which is so clutch for a young guy on a doc team.
Yeah, and I think that that ties into like the playmaking and everything else. Just his willingness to learn, I think, gives him a lot of upside as a piece moving forward, even if, you know, maybe the minutes aren't necessarily there for him right away.
Yes.
I do think, you know, like we've been told multiple times that, you know, we should expect to see him in the rotation. He has been part of the hype machine through the offseason.
Oh, yeah. People are hyped.
Both, you know, official, like both on the fan side of things as well as things coming from the organization. So,
yeah,
it does seem like he is going to be a mainstay moving forward, more so than any other rotation guy that's really on the roster. That's not like already secured in a spot.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, the vision is fantastic, which I think is great. I think vision's a thing. I'm one of those people who thinks you can't teach it. You kind of just either your brain works at seeing the court or it doesn't.
I agree.
You can learn how to be a great passer for sure, but the vision thing is like such an intangible thing to me. The on-ball defense is great.
Yeah, and let's just get into some things that are concerns are not there yet that might keep him out of a regular spot.
And the things that aren't there are pretty big things for NBA level guards.
For sure, but I will give the caveat.
Yeah.
Pretty reasonable, surmountable things for a rookie.
Definitely.
In time.
Oh, yeah. And it was nice seeing him play against a team like... Oh, he didn't play, excuse me. It's going to be nice to see him play against a team that switches as much as Melbourne does.
Yeah.
Because he would have been... I think if Terrence would have played in that game, he would not have played very long.
He probably would have been toasted.
Yeah. In the game against Denver, Doc said, you know, he was like, he got backdoor cut 3 times. That kind of thing. That is that stuff where it's like, yeah, there's going to be no real minutes until you get that figured out, which, like you said, is a thing that he can definitely get figured out.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's just like, while he does have an eye for the game and some playmaking stuff, he just doesn't know all the tricks that people who have played in the NBA longer than him know.
Yeah, even for just like a year longer than him.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Which is interesting. And then the other one, which isn't, you mentioned that he kind of learns from his mistakes, which is good. The turnovers. They're not egregious.
Yeah.
They're just like, it's not like an absurd amount. It's just kind of like, what the hell are you doing, turnovers?
So yeah, I would say that there is the tendency, and I mean, it's pretty common in younger guys, so don't think that I'm bagging on him, but there's a tendency to rush things when they're not working.
Yeah.
He gets into a sort of tunnel vision, I think, sometimes, where if the shot that he wants isn't immediately there and he's not immediately finding the open teammate, he'll try to drive in and then jump in the air and kick the ball
and kick
the ball out for a turnover, or not make a productive pass or progress the ball in a productive way, which is to be expected for a rookie, especially a rookie who hasn't played the position that they're being expected to play for the last, you know, couple of years. So I think that that's all understandable, but I mean, it just wouldn't be a season preview if we didn't mention that I think that he's going to have a lot of growing pains. And I think...
Yeah, good growing pains.
Good growing pains, but I do think that just since he's not going to get the time to really kind of figure things out the way Shea did, even when Shea was going through stretches where he was getting pulled pretty early after a bunch of turnovers.
That was rough.
He's just going to have a much shorter rope with which to hang himself, or whatever the expression is.
Man, do you think, because I think we're going to see him, I mean, playing for the first team. I'm not saying starters. I'm saying as opposed to Aguacaliente compared to the Clips.
Oh, yeah.
Do we think we see a dose of him in ACC, though? Maybe once Paul George comes back?
I mean, as of right now, I don't think so.
Wow, okay. I think if the kind of distribution is not too crazy or like something to worry about,
mm-hmm.
when Paul George comes back, I think we might see him put down there, not in a bad way, just as like a, we need to keep you fresh, because he might be part of load management and stuff like that. But there's still just, you know, the off ball stuff. Doc mentioned they run the same sets in the G League as they do for the Clippers. So like, learning how to play in that offense, I think, would be very valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And then just kind of seeing just some more NBA level trying to play NBA level defense without having it be detrimental in a Western Conference game.
So I would be surprised if he was in the G League. I think that even if he's not getting playing time, it seems like Doc values a player actually being there.
Yeah, that's true.
At that level. However,
and the sponge thing, the sponge characteristic is huge.
Yeah. However, I will give a couple of caveats. I mean, he's already had an injury.
Yeah, there's a lot of knocks.
You know, we're four games into preseason.
Yeah.
So, you know, like if anything like that happens, obviously he's going to go back to the G League,
mm-hmm.
For a period of time. And if someone else is able to pop out in the rotation, maybe then he could be sent down too. But I think I would be pretty surprised if he was to spend any sort of, especially any non-injury related stint in the G League.
Yeah. Okay. What are we putting at like his year outlook minutes wise? Who's he going to take minutes from?
Honestly, I can't say. It's too early.
I think the only person I could see him kind of eating minutes into is Jerome.
Jerome and
no
possibly
disrespect to Jerome.
Jerome and possibly Landry, just depending on what you're trying to do with the lineup,
team need and whatnot.
Yeah,
because the size is great. It might be one of his best aspects, other than vision. I would put size.
Yeah, and if the defense can get there, all around like that. You know, that makes for a really strong presence. That makes a really strong case for him.
I'm hyped on Man.
Yeah, same here.
Hyped enough to... if you still think that Man should start instead of Patrick Bev, just hit us up. Let us know why you think that. That was a thing for a couple days. It's insane, but it was a thing.
Anyways, coming up next for you, we got some other questions, not Man taking Beverly spot related, so stay tuned for that.
All right, welcome to Twitter Tuesdays. Want to give a quick shout out to Manscaped. They are number one in men's below the belt grooming. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code locked on at manscaped.com.
Who's number two?
Couldn't tell you.
What's that? Fisker's scissors?
Oh God. It might be Fisker's scissors. Oh man. Great ref. Welcome to Twitter Tuesdays. Thank you to everyone at Clipper Nation who sent us questions. We picked a few. We got some good ones. We have one of the most, I don't know if absurd, one of the hottest questions we've had that we'll save for after this. Clayton Bowen asks, do you think, and I quote this directly from the tweet that he sent himself, do you think Swaggy PHP, Patrick Patterson for the uneducated, has gas left in the tank after last game's performance and can contribute this year, or do we take his performance with a massive grain of salt?
I wouldn't say massive.
I was going to say a little of column A, a little of column B.
Yeah, I think, he's not going to shoot 100% from the field, but... I don't know. We talked about this a lot in his season preview yesterday. So if you want to hear more about Swaggy PP and our changing opinions of him.
Thank you for using that nickname, by the way, Clayton. We appreciate that.
Go ahead and listen to that. We talk a little bit more in depth about Patrick Patterson. But I think that yes, he has some gas left in the tank. Yes, I think that there's stuff that he can offer. And unlike... some other rotation guys who kind of didn't work out last year at the trade deadline, to me, he still provides a lot of value on one side of the floor, even if he takes a pretty drastic drop in, let's say, the three-point shooting or scoring.
Yeah, the thing that I really like, I mean, the performance was fantastic, obviously, from him stats-wise in that last game. But what I loved was the feeling of him on the court.
Yeah.
Which is what... largely in part, I'm assuming he was brought in to do was to that kind of veteran, like, hey, it's all going to be good. Let's just slow. We might be playing good, but let's slow down a little bit.
Yep.
Let's get into our sets.
Yep.
Let's do what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And see how it works out. That's what's going to be so clutch from Patterson. Do not expect him to shoot 100%.
No, but he's measured. He's calculated. I think
that's what's big.
I think that even if the shots aren't falling on the other side of the floor, yeah, just that presence is important. And then we talked about this a bunch yesterday, but just the durability, having a guy who can endure a little bit more punishment from larger front courts.
Yeah.
When we don't want other of our players who might be spending time at the four necessarily doing that game in and game out.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting if we ever see physical Patrick Patterson versus AD. I don't think he'd shut him down, but he would be annoying to play against.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's huge.
He's a stout dude. Question from Kai, aka LBest7.
Okay.
He wants to know why the Clippers are holding back their valuable assets from playing preseason, specifically Lou, Kawhi, Pat, and Hark altogether. Says he likes the minutes the rookies are getting, but wants to see more of what the team as a whole can do. I'm kind of with Kai on this one. I don't think it should have been major minutes, but those that couple of minutes in the Nuggets game when we got to see Kawhi and everything like that, it was, you know, everyone was high on hope. It was great. I would like to see a lot of these guys on Thursday get some run together.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's the plan. That's going to be their first sort of in-game test, which will be nice. You know, Doc has commented on this. It's not an ideal situation. It's not,
a weird preseason kind of rotation-wise.
And it's not an ideal situation not having not having enough time for your guys to gel. Obviously having key players not even in full contact yet in practice. There's going to be some growing pains with that. But on the whole, I mean, like, I don't know. It's preseason, so we've seen a lot of teams rest key people.
Yeah. Or you're the Rockets.
It just makes sense. Or you're the Rockets. Or the Nuggets. I mean, Westbrook still.
Yeah, exactly. Westbrook's a good point. And it really just is like, the flip side of me was like, I mean, we did see it for 10 minutes, which is a little more than I guess I thought I was going to see Kawhi in the preseason.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think the continuity is going to be okay. These guys know what they're doing. That's what's nice is that it's older players who are playing together. It's not a bunch of new young guys.
Yeah.
Which is good. Fuji Fun Guy Kawhi Moto asks, who when they're doing starting lineups, what is the order going to be when it's at full strength? Like when they're announcing the starting lineup? I assume they're going to start with Zoo.
Okay.
And then
I think they'll start with Landry.
Yeah, so go Sham and then Zoo.
Uh-huh.
And then let's go Pat.
Okay.
And then who between Kawhi and Paul George gets last billing? They're both from Cali.
You think they switch?
Oh, switching would be cool. I bet it's Paul George because Kawhi might be like, Paul can go last if he wants to.
Yeah.
That was a good question, though, because I was like, oh, Kawhi. Oh, no, because Paul George is going to be, he's also a Cali
player. Who would you put last? And this is you definitively saying which player is the better player.
I would put Kawhi last.
I'd put Paul George last.
I think the crowd goes crazier for Kawhi.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is funny, because he doesn't really care. final question for this segment. One of the hottest questions we've got.
All right, let's break into it.
From Poker Guy RD. Clips need size at the five. How about Jerome for Boban? Bring him back. They both make $3.5 million, and Dallas can get a young guard that's on the last year of guaranteed money. Dallas can decide if they want to pick up the option. Also, Boban is $3.5 million, is cheap. What do we think about that?
This is interesting.
I'm against it.
I'm also against it.
I'm against it, not just because I think Jerome is going to be better than what people think he's going to be right now. But also, I mean, the Boban, it's fun and it's dope, but I don't know how much meaningful minutes he would get.
Yeah, you know, it is interesting to have the size in there, but then we're still kind of in a thing where I feel like we have these different pieces. But yeah, like, is Boban's size really a usable size from like a 82-game perspective?
It just gets exploited.
It just gets exploited.
It seems like what happens to Zoo, but times a million if Boban's in there.
And we would talk about this all the time last year. It's like, if you want to start Boban, fine. You can run him out there for 5 minutes and you basically know what you're going to get for the entire game.
Yeah, if it's going great in that first five, you're like, fantastic Boban game. But if he fumbles one of those passes immediately or gets lost on defense, you're just like, okay, not tonight.
Yeah, or if they just like cram pick and roll down his throat or something, like,
yeah, would love to see Boban back, but maybe not for trading. And I know people are down on Jerome right now, but that would feel like a loss.
Yeah,
from a basketball standpoint, obviously from a content standpoint the team is loving it.
Oh, absolutely.
But from an actual basketball standpoint, and given we don't have that much youth.
Yeah.
It would be kind of a big, I would be kind of bummed.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, giving up, I mean, yeah, it's giving up a lottery asset for.
Oh, I wouldn't even want to read those headlines either.
For Boban. And, you know, I know that opinions are pretty mixed on Jerome right now.
Oh, you love Jerome.
But I think that he's got something in the tank. Doc seems to think.
Doc likes him.
Doc thinks that he has a higher offensive potential than he's shown even thus far in the preseason. And, you know, he's had a couple pretty solid games.
He had that dunk. That dunk is wild.
That dunk is great.
Does not get enough press, I would say.
All right. So do you have any questions?
I don't have any questions right now. I'm just excited for the season to start. I know it's only going to be a week away, but it still feels far away.
For sure. All right. So coming up next, we got some shavings for you. What's kicking around in the old Clipper drawer?
Okay. Welcome to Shavings.
Hey.
It's Shavings. Are we worried about all these knocks guys are taking in practice?
Oh, man. Okay. So this is like, so Magruder happened right away.
Yeah, immediately. Bev took that fall, but ended up playing.
Yeah.
Landry's got a hurt wrist, left wrist specifically, which is not that bad.
Practice was canceled. If you're listening to this, yesterday.
Practice was canceled on Monday.
There will be an open practice tonight.
Yeah, which if you're going, say what's up to us.
Yeah, yeah, we'll definitely be there. Curious to see what the squad is going to look like. I don't know. We talked about it. I was trying to be optimistic, and I said, is it good that we're getting these out of the way early? To which you definitively said...
I said no. It's just, and I don't... We're not obviously trying to put any bad energy out there, but, you know, you have a team that hustles and plays really hard, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And Doc mentioned in the presser that, you know, injuries are bad luck, which is also very true. Knocks are bad luck. You know, Magruder stepping on a guy, getting stepped on or whatever it was. That's bad luck. You can chalk it up to that.
For sure.
But I do think there is, and it's so hard to strike that medium of like practice like you play, but don't practice so hard that seven guys have knocks that they can't get run in the preseason. Not that they're like physically unable to get that run, obviously. They just don't want to exacerbate it.
Yeah, for sure.
And I was happy that the guys who had knocks did not play in the game on Sunday because that was a physical game.
It was, yeah. And surprise, I was glad that Pat didn't end up returning to the game, even though Doc said he could have played him, would have played. I mean, I don't know that he would have played.
Regular season would have been back in for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's something to keep your eye on, something to keep your mind on.
Not too much, hopefully.
But it's just tough to say. Like, I think.
I also trust our medical staff.
I trust our medical staff, and I think that it makes a little bit of sense that guys are kind of getting banged up at the start of the season. It's like when you stretch a cold muscle, it's not really like it's not at its most limber. It's not really quite ready to go yet. So I'm hoping that like once we're kind of things are clicking and everything's kind of moving together, that'll be less likely. Like stuff like stepping on somebody's foot, that to me sounds like a new squad injury.
Yeah, that
you
sounds,
know what I mean?
Yeah, because it didn't say if it was like his own teammate or something. But I was like, I could see someone not understanding how he moves or something like that.
Yeah.
And it is nice that they're being described as knocks. We haven't heard the I word or anything like that.
For sure.
You know, Shaman in the locker room was really funny. Farbod was asking him, he was like, so did you pick up a little knock? Is it just your wrist? Is it okay? And Landry Shaman just repeated exactly what he said back to him. Was like, just picked up a little knock. It's my wrist. Farbod goes, would you be fine if it was in a game? And he just goes, it's fine. So Shaman seems okay with it.
All right.
Which is good. Ralph, you know you're in Shavings right now. Ralph posted a pic of a bunch of split wood that he and Joe have in Oregon. Did he split that wood himself? Did Joe split it? Or who split that wood?
Oh, good call. They splitting the wood.
Matt Chong put up the Joe idea. Ralph, someone asked him what the weather's like right now in Oregon.
Uh-huh.
He said he's not used to it yet. And it made me think.
He responded in all caps, ass.
Yeah. It made me picture like a really cold Ralph shivering and it just saying, oh me, oh my, with chattering teeth. And it was like the cutest, funniest man image.
That's great.
Do we think, and this had me thinking, and I'm sure some other people have thought of it. Is he going to come back at any point this year? Maybe do a guest call or something? I want it.
With how active he's being on Twitter and everything, I don't know. I think it's a situation where if he wants to, the door is always open.
Yeah, just wants to hop up in that booth, get a couple of minutes with BS in there.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Brian Seaman's been fantastic in the preseason.
Yeah, doing great work. Shout out Brian Seaman.
He had the quote, leather larceny. I think it was Kawhi got a steal, which is a fantastic one. We talked a little bit about this off top, about the open practice at the Galen Center at 6:30 Tuesday night. If you RSVP'd, cool. What? I've never been to an open practice like this. There's apparently slated appearances for the Clipper Spirit and Chuck the Condor.
Uh-huh.
You and I were talking about this. What happens at open practices?
I don't know. And forgive my ignorance on the subject. I
likened it to like a skate demo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like we're going to see like, it's going to be a lot of oohs and ahs.
It's going to be a lot of oohs and ahs, and it's going to be, yeah, I mean, it's going to be
fun?
Like, yeah, I think it's going to be similar to the playbook in that it's going to be hyping up the most excited already fans.
I feel like we're going to see a heavy dose of Terrence.
Oh, that would make sense. Yeah.
He's kind of a fan favorite-y guy.
Yeah.
I wonder if we'll see Kawhi.
I mean, they got to show him a little bit.
Yeah. What if they just like say, and Kawhi's here, and Kawhi just peeks his head around the corner of the door and then just goes back in.
I'd love it. The crowd would go insane.
Yeah, the crowd would actually love it.
Paul George will throw up some shots.
Oh, I bet Paul George. I hope Paul George challenges someone in the crowd to one-on-one and then
pushes them down pushes like that poor child.
Yeah, like he's like a child now. But no, it should be a good time. I like that they're doing this. Kind of, I don't know if community outreach is the right word because it's not really benefiting the community, but it's nice that it's like an open...
It's entertaining the community, which is a benefit.
That's very true. It's nice that it's an open thing. I don't know. What do you expect? Like,
I'm not expecting anything.
I'm not really either. It's only an hour.
Yeah.
Which is actually... Shout out to them.
Well, I am expecting Doc to let me hop in on the bench, maybe draw up a quick couple plays. It's just practice.
Yeah,
it's like, just practice.
You're just already working on the script. Doc, I got a couple of things I want to work on. Anything else you got in shavings?
No. We got a new review on iTunes.
Oh, yeah. We have to give a shout out to Brent Borghese?
Borghese?
AKA Yaman 1978. He gave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Hey, thanks, man.
That could also be you if you're listening.
Oh, yeah.
You could toss us a review. It'd be great.
Throw it in. We'll give you a shout out. Even if it's bad, someone gave us a 2-star review. We gave them a shout out.
Yeah.
But they had no curse words. Potty mouths out there. we will have a brand new episode for y'all on Wednesday. We're going to be talking about, you know, the fantastic open practice that we go get to check out.
Absolutely.
We're also going to be doing a season outlook for my co-host's possible favorite Clipper.
Jerome Robinson.
We have a What Could Have Been Wednesday. And anything else that happens between now and then in Clipperland, I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Appreciate you.